Identity theft shows no signs of slowing down. In fact, more than $29 billion were stolen last year alone. That's a criminal success story and a wake-up call for everyone. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. LifeLock makes it easy to help protect yourself. If you become a victim, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com/FoxPod. LifeLock. Identity theft protection starts here.
Last year, identity thieves stole more than $29 billion. LifeLock makes it easy to help protect yourself against identity theft, alerting you to threats you may miss on your own. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/FoxPod.
The enemy had to retrench. They had to come down with their objectives. What is taking place in Palestine, in Gaza, my brothers and sisters, shows how arrogant and stupid and helpless the Israelis are. What are they doing? They are killing people in Gaza. Children, women, most of the martyrs are women and children.
That is Nasrallah speaking. Is he done speaking? Or is this, we're just getting the translation now. And Nasrallah, who heads up Hezbollah, comes from Lebanon. He's the power base there, looked at as a hero in the region, did not declare war on Israel, said he knew nothing about the operation before it happened. Joel Rosenberg is the editor-in-chief of All Israel News and All Arab News and joins us now. Joel, I know it just happened, but what's your takeaway from the Nasrallah remarks?
Hey, Brian. Good to talk to you from Jerusalem. And it has been a brutal month. And Sheikh Nasrallah, I don't know why he gave the speech, because in many ways there's really no new information in it. But the fact is, and he sort of confirmed it, they're already at war. This idea that he might declare war is sort of a non-starter for him. He considers himself, he has been at war with us for 30 years. He is at war with us now. And he's been accelerating, Brian. That's the challenge. Hezbollah, which is funded, armed, trained and directed by the Iranian regime, is vastly larger and more dangerous than Hamas. And so the real issue that every Israeli is processing right now, Brian, is when do they start shooting their 150,000 missiles, far more powerful than the rockets that Hamas has in Gaza? So we're winning in Gaza. We will win in Gaza. But nobody here believes that we can actually be safe without defeating Hezbollah. And I'll add one other thing as we begin. Iran is at 84% enrichment, as you know, of uranium. They only have to get to 90 to have fully operational nuclear warheads. So most Israelis are also thinking, well, if we win in Gaza and we don't defeat Hezbollah and we don't take out the Iran nuclear sites, we're worse off than we actually were a month ago. That's where we are right now.
That's a great point. And the thing is, too, Hezbollah must be looking at this and saying, wait, do I want this fight? They are totally mobilized on a war footing. They now have rationale. Instead of a probe that people would say that could be avoided, now they say, wait a second. Do we really want this fight? Because you could obviously Israel would take a pounding, but Israel should be victorious out of this and could wipe out both terror organizations, you know, this fall.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And we've been reporting at All Israel News, and I've got a TV show on TBN called The Rosenberg Report. Tomorrow night, Saturday, we've got an exclusive interview with Israel's former prime minister and defense minister, Naftali Bennett. And I pressed him on these issues because I said, you know, every Israeli that I'm interviewing, whether they're in the military or former intelligence now or former or just regular citizens, they're like, we are facing literally an existential threat worse than at any point since 1948 when seven Arab armies attacked us. But everyone here, I think, is psychologically preparing themselves. And this is what I talked to Bennett about, for the idea that we can't just win in Gaza. No one in Israel is in doubt that we will. And we're doing a very, very good job right now at a high cost, admittedly, especially in international opinion. But you know, Brian, because you've been covering this stuff for years, Prime Minister Netanyahu believes that he came back into power after being removed by Naftali Bennett specifically to neutralize the Iran threat. And if he weren't going to do it now, when would you do it? What would be the moral justification? But the cost to Israel is high because Hezbollah's missiles and Iran's missiles are vastly more powerful. And we will, you know, but for the grace and miracle of God, which, you know, I believe I'm an evangelical Israeli and I believe God can protect us. But you have to plan for the worst and pray for the best. But Israel could be devastated, even though we'll win.
I hear you. But you wonder how much worse will it be in 2 years? How much worse will it be in three years?
Exactly. Well, one of the things I spent a day last week for my TBN show on the northern border. And again, under rocket fire, missiles, attacks, machine gun fire, it was quite an experience. And every single person on that border said, we're never moving back here. If we win in Gaza and then we de-escalate and let's say Biden or the UN forces a ceasefire, like, and all the tanks go home, all the troops go back to work, all the U.S. aircraft carrier strike groups off the coast go home, what are we supposed to do? Hezbollah is 50 times bigger in terms of their army, and they've already told us 10 years ago they released formally, publicly, their plan to invade and conquer the Galilee, which is the northern area of Israel, right up to the Sea of Galilee, and kill everybody that lives here. So we're never moving back unless we fight this war. And that's something I think most people in the West, even pro-Israel people in the United States, have not processed because they're thinking, let's help Israel win in Gaza and then contain this thing. No Israeli thinks you can, because now we've seen the barbarism, the demonic savagery. And Brian, I would say there's a combination of tremendous grief here, fear, but also resolve.
I understand. And you understand that it only lasts so long. The adrenaline and the feeling can only last so long. And you're worried a year from now you might have a temporary peace, but you have to look long term.
Right.
It's fascinating and so impactful who makes these decisions. Joel, continue to do your great work. I hope we can check in with you again.
Please do. I'll be your Middle East correspondent here for you.
That'd be
thanks,
awesome.
Brian.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.